ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्वरम्। ॐ गणानां गणपतिगुं हवामहे
कविं कवीन्द्रं
नामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नु तीभिसि सादनम्। ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः। कर्णेभिः शृणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः सुष्ठुवागंसस्तनूभिः पश्येमदेवहितं यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति न पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्ददातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
हरि ओम। सो लास्ट वीक वी बिगैन दी गणपति अथर्व शीर्षम विथ अ ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन टू व्हाट आर द वेदास एंड दी उपनिषद्स एंड वेद व्यास जीस कॉन्ट्रीब्यूशन टू दिस नॉलेज एज वी स्टडीड। वेद व्यास जी ट्रेवल्ड एक्सटेंसिवली थ्रू आउट इंडिया एंड एक्चुअली मेमोराइज्ड दोज उपनिषद्स वेदास एंड देन ब्रॉट देम बैक लाइक दी Atharva Veda was composed west of the Sindhu River. So Ved Vyas ji himself traveled there, memorized the entire Veda, came back and repeated to his Shishyas, who then transcribed it. So that's why we remember Ved Vyas ji on Guru Purnima. Guru Purnima is celebrated on his birthday. And then we talked about the Shanti Mantra, Bhadram Karnevi, how we should listen with full attention and study with full attention. Gurudev in his commentary also says, Bhadram Karnevi Shrunu. If we want to hear auspicious, we have to speak what is auspicious, because that is what we hear the first time. And if we want to see what is auspicious, we have to do what is auspicious. So that is another meaning of Bhadram Karnevi Shrunuyam and Bhadram Pashyem Akshabhi. So we have studied up to that and invoked the blessings of Bhagwan Indra and Garuda Devta and Brihaspati Devta and Usha, the Surya Bhagwan. Just a little bit more about the Ganas. The Ganas were beings who had been created differently. There was some defect in their creation. So somebody was missing one leg, another one was missing a hand and a leg, somebody was missing a head, only had the trunk, no head. So if you want to scold him, you can tell him, Sir nahi hai kya? So he'll say, ha, nahi hai, what can I do? So these were the different ganas. One had eyes in his chest, another one had a mouth just below the eyes in the chest, and then stomach just below, direct download system. There was no esophagus needed. So all these variety of different malformations, you can say, of creation, and that included Bhut, Pishach, Dakini, Shakini, all these nocturnal beings that live in crematorium and so on. And these would have created havoc for the world if Lord Shiva had not taken them under his refuge and kept them, taught them and kept them under his control. As we saw in the story of Daksha Prajapati, I'm sure everybody knows, where Satiji gave up her life because her father, Daksha Prajapati, was insulting Lord Shiva, and she jumped into that yagna fire, the yagna which was being done by Daksha Prajapati. And when Shiva heard about Satiji having given up her life, he released just two of his ganas, and they went and they destroyed the entire yagna shala, the palace of Daksha Prajapati. Even though Daksha Prajapati had so many warriors and soldiers, he could do nothing. So that was the power of these ganas, and which Ganpati is the head of those. And then there are other names, like Nandi was one of the ganas, you know, there was one called Patanjali, not the rishi, but Patanjali, Nandi, Chandi. So these were the ganas, and that was Ganapati ji is the head of that. Gana also has a couple of other meanings for Ganapati's name. So gana means the eight vasus, as we had also studied in Aditya Hridayam. There are eight vasus, eight directions: north, south, east, west, northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest. And so there are eight vasus who are the gods of each of these directions. And Ganapati is the head of that. So what it means is that any activity we do in any direction, we should invoke Bhagwan Ganapati's grace, because he is the head of all the directions of all the vasus. Gana also means elements, the basic elements, which are the ginti. Also, it means the unmanifested, you know, what we call apanchikrit pancha mahabhutas in tattva bodh. Before these elements have been grossified, they are in the unmanifest or subtle form. And so Ganapati is said to be the lord of matter. That means because it is these unmanifest which become manifest as those five, you know, pancha mahabhutas, space, air, fire, water, earth. And so Ganapati is the one who has conquered matter. That's what they say, mind over matter. You know, matter does not matter. So that is Gana. So Ganas are not only the beings, but they are also the vasus and the elements. So here we have finished the Shanti Mantra, and we already chanted Om Namaste Ganapataye. We had done that, covered that last time. Who is this Ganapati? So now we will continue the shloka number one. Neeru and I will chant. You can keep your computer muted and chant with us. Tvameva pratyaksham tatvamasi, tvameva kevalam kartasi. Tvameva kevalam dartasi, tvameva kevalam hartasi, tvameva sarvam kalvidam brahmasi, tvam sakshadatmasi nityam. So he says, Om Namaste Ganapataye. Oh, I bow down to the Lord of the Ganas. Who are you? I'll just do the word by word translation and then cover each one in detail. This is a very important shloka, because
what is the page number?
It is page 23 of the Vedic chanting book. So normally when they do homage to any god or to any being, they do the the form first and then the formless, like Hanumanji said, Kanana Kundala Kunchit Kesha Hatha Vajror. So they are talking about the form. And then later on, they talk about his qualities, you know, Tumre Bhajan Ram Ko Pave and so on. So, but here the Rishi directly starts with the formless aspect of Sri of Bhagwan Ganapati. And later on, he will talk about his form. So what is the formless aspect, or how is this Lord Ganpati as the Brahman, as the formless Brahman? So he says, Tvam eva pratyaksham tatvamasi. Tvam eva, you alone indeed are pratyaksham, manifest tatvamasi. That Mahavakya, which say that thou art, you are the manifestation of that. And Tvam eva, and you alone are the kevalam. Kevalam means alone. Indeed, eva means you, only you. Kevalam kartasi, you are alone the creator of the universe. They say, creator, what happened to Brahmaji? Was there a coup in heaven and that Ganpati came and took over Brahmaji's role? No, what it means is that he is the, at the paramarthic level, just as when we were studying Surya, you know, Aditya Hridaya, we said Surya is the supreme and he is the creator, sustainer and destroyer of the universe. So whichever God is my Ishta Devta, for me that is the supreme. So here Ganaka Rishi, his Ishta Devta is Ganpati Bhagwan. So he says, Ganpati, you are alone the creator of the universe. You are Brahma. And then Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh are your manifestation, which he will talk later in this mantra. So he says, Tvameva Kevalam Kartasi, you alone are the creator. Kevalam means you alone, there is nobody else except you. Then he says, Tvameva Kevalam Dhartasi, you are the supporter. So you are Brahma, you are Vishnu. Why? Because you are that one Brahman who has manifested as Ganpati Bhagwan. And Brahman is only one. All Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, you know, Indra, all of those, Sri Ram, Sri Krishna, all are manifestations of that one supreme Brahman. So you alone are the Dharta, you alone are the supporter. Tvameva kevalam hartasi, and you are also the destroyer. So you are Brahma, you are Vishnu, you are Shiva. Even though he is said to be the son of Shiva, but here he is being worshipped as the supreme. Tvameva sarvam, you alone are everything. Khalu idam. Khalu idam is indeed, in reality, idam brahmasi. And this Brahman, this, which is said to be the supreme reality, substratum of this universe, you alone are that. Not only that, but tvam sakshat atma asi nityam. You are myself. You are not only my atma, but you are the atma of all beings. So you are the Atma and you are Nityam, you are eternal. So there was never a time when Ganpati was not there or will not be there. That story of his creation is just when he manifested. But as Ganpati, as the essence of creation, was always there, Nityam. So let us see what is this Pratyaksham mean. So in Vedanta, we have various ways of determining the presence of something. So like pratyaksham means prati aksham, that means in front of my eyes. So they say, you know, seeing is believing. You say, yeah, what I see, I believe. But then there are so many things that we see which are not true. Like we see the sky as blue, but it is not blue. It is just the color of the light that comes through the atmosphere gives it an appearance of blue. There is no blue sky when the astronauts go. The sun moving from east to west, sun doesn't move, the earth moves. So what I see is not always correct. But generally, what we see, we believe. So here the Rishi is saying, Tvam eva pratyaksham tatvamasi. Pratyaksham means I can see you. So the Rishi must have meditated upon Lord Ganpati, and Ganpati manifests to him when he is composing these mantras. So he says, you are that which is worshipped as Tattvamasi, and you are the Pratyaksham in front of my eyes. Now there are different methods, you know, of proving the existence of something. So they say one is Pratyaksh Praman, that if I see it, I believe it. Then in Vedanta, there is Anuman Praman. Anuman means guessing or estimation. Like I go out of my house early morning wearing my jogging suit and my whole front yard is covered with water. So what is my presumption? Either it rained last night or my sprinkler has broken. So that is pratyaksha, that is anuman, that is a guess. And so that is the second. Then the third, there are many others, you know, but the three that are important in this study is aparoksha anubhuti, which Shankaracharya also has written a text. Aparoksha means not with somebody else's eyes. Paraksha means somebody else's eyes. Aparaksha means not with somebody else's eyes. So the meaning of that is that, say, I go to somebody's house and, you know, the lady of the house is a very good hostess and she keeps feeding me chapati after chapati. And then I say, now I can't eat anymore. My stomach is full. I can't eat. So the lady cannot tell, but I know that my stomach is full. I cannot eat anymore, or I, you know, didn't feel well last night, so I cannot eat. So that is called aparoksha jnanam, which nobody else can know. I alone can know. So here, aparoksha means this Ganpati Atharva Shirsham is described by Rishi, Ganaka Rishi, about the qualities of Ganpati. But what I have to do is I have to contemplate upon this mantra. I have to study it, think about it afterwards, after having heard correctly. And then abide in that knowledge that my Ganpati Lord is the Supreme. So that is called aparoksha. And ultimately, the Rishi's experience of oneness with that Supreme Reality called Ganpati has to become my experience. So only then it can be said that it is aparoksha jnanam. So far for us, all these Upanishads, these mantras, when they say you are that, tattvam asi aham brahmas, that is all paroksha jnanam. But through the study of the scriptures, abiding in this knowledge and contemplating upon it, it becomes my knowledge. So that is called pratyaksha jnanam. Then he says tattvam asi. Now this tattvam asi can be read in two ways. One is tattvam asi or tattvam asi. So there are two different interpretations of this particular word. So we'll do the first one. Tattvam asi. You are the essence. Tattva means essence. So what do we mean by essence? So in Sankhya philosophy, they say that there is Prakriti and Purusha. You know, that we know Prakriti is matter and Purusha is the spirit. So matter and spirit together create this whole universe. Now, Prakriti in the Sankhya philosophy is said to have 24 elements. 24. So three are Mana, Buddhi, Ahankar. So they say, what about Chitta? What happened to Chitta? They say Chitta is part of the memory, is the part of ego, Ahankar. So three, so mana, buddhi, ahankar, they count three. Then five, apanchikrit pancha mahabhutas, means the ungrossified elements. And then five more once they have become grossified. So 3 + 5 + 5, 13. Then five sense organs and five organs of action. So that makes 23. So 23 are still Prakriti. The 24th is the unmanifest, which we call as vasanas. So vasanas plus these 23 make Prakriti. So Prakriti has 24 elements. And what is the 25th? Purusha. In Vedanta, they say Purusha alone is, and Prakriti is an illusion upon that. But in Sankhya philosophy, they say Prakriti is independent of Purusha. So the 24 elements is Prakriti and the 25th is Purusha. So they say, Ganpati, you are all those 25. So you are not only the 24 aspects of Prakriti, but you are also the Purusha. So you are everything. That is one way of reading Tattvam Asi. Second way of understanding Tattvamasi is Tat Tvam Asi, what we have studied, what in Chandogya Upanishad is taught by the guru to his student, which who is his son. He says Tat Tvam Asi, what that is the Mahavakya. You know, there are four Mahavakyas, Aham Brahmasmi and Prajnanam, you know, Brahma and all that. And I am Atma Brahman. So there are four Mahavakyas, but the most popular is, well known is Tat Tvam Asi, that thou art. So what the Rishi is saying is that which I have been meditating upon, that we always think of God as being that God somewhere far away, Brahman, you know. It's like saying, you know, this Bakersfield and that Orange County. So Bakersfield is here and Orange County is far away. Somebody in Orange County would say this Orange County and that Bakersfield. So what we think of as far away, we always say as that. And then this is where I am. So like for me, this house is near, but Jayashree's house is that because it is far. So he says that consciousness, which I used to think as far away, as Brahman, I will not reach. Now I realize that is also this. That is this and that are only one. That's what also in Aditya Rhythm he says, asau asau asmi. I have understood that this and that are only one Brahman. And Ganpati Bhagavan, you are that Brahman whom I have been meditating on. But now I realize that this whole creation is an appearance upon you with the power of Maya. So that conditioning is the one that hides this truth from us. So, oh, Ganpati Bhagavan, you are that Mahavakya Tattvamasi. You are the visible manifestation of that Brahman, which I thought was infinite, all-pervading, and that you are. You are that infinite, all-pervading Brahman. You are the substratum of this universe, and you alone have manifested as this entire world. So that is the meaning of Tattvamasi. Then, so what it means is that at the paramarthic level, at the unconditioned level, you are that consciousness. And with conditioning, you appear as this God with the elephant head and four hands and all that. So that is you are. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, and you are Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. They all are manifestations of your power alone. And then he says, Tvameva Kevalam Kartasi, you are the only creator of this universe. So again, what it means is that Brahmaji is an expression of your power. Now, another beautiful meaning of Karta, which I heard, is that when we worship Bhagwan Ganesha, we say Vigna Vinashak, you know, Vigna Vinashak, one who removes obstacles. Mm-hmm. Vigna, Harta, Vigna, you know, Nasha, all those. Then when you do the 108 names of Lord Ganesha, one name is Vigna Nasha, another name is Vigna Raja. Raja means who brings obstacles. Mm-hmm. So one who removes obstacles, one who also brings. Why would I want to worship a God who brings obstacles? I thought, chalo, theek hai, he removes obstacles, that's fine. But I didn't know he also brings obstacles. And in the beginning, people don't like that name. But when you understand the true meaning of why obstacles are required, so the example they give is in the army. Now, when they are training these army soldiers, you know, for special missions, they create an obstacle course where they have to run, jump over, you know, certain heights, then hold a rope and hang and climb to the top of the mountain. And then, you know, go on the other side and run. So all these obstacles are created. Why? To train them. Otherwise, so that when they are going on special missions. So obstacles, we may think that an obstacle has come in my life, but only God knows why these obstacles have come. So suppose a situation comes and I say, oh, this is so terrible. I lost that job and now I am unemployed, and what is this is so bad. But then we don't know that maybe there is something good in that, that particular job was not good for me. And 5 years, 10 years later, I realize, oh, that was the best thing that ever happened. When we look back and say, you know, at that time I was so depressed, but then I realized that it is God alone who knows why an obstacle should come in my life. So even when problems come in my life, they are come because of his grace and blessings for me to improve. And I was hearing a story of this Brahmachari, who now is one of the very famous Swamis of Chinmaya Mission, head of one of the centers. He says when he was not even a Brahmachari, he was a high school student. And he used to love to play soccer. And so he tried out for the soccer team and he worked very hard. And then they told him, sorry, you know, you are not good enough to qualify for the soccer team. And he was so depressed. He said, you know, that was my whole goal in life, to be a good soccer player. And I got kicked out of the soccer team, and he's walking all depressed and sad. And then suddenly he saw this sign, Gita Gnana Yajna by Swami Chinmayananda. So he was anyway, he couldn't play that day. He had extra time and he was feeling depressed. So he just went and sat down. And there Gurudev was talking Bhagavad Gita about one who is balanced in heat and cold joy. And so he said, you know, this is such powerful teaching. And he was so impressed. He went the rest of the day, every day, to that Gyana Yajna, as long as Gurudev. Sometimes he used to do for 2 or 3 weeks, one chapter. And he went every day and he was so inspired that next time Gurudev came again, he went. Ultimately, after he graduated, he gave up, you know, his home and became a student at Sandipani in Mumbai and became a Brahmachari. And he says, if I had not been kicked out of that soccer team that day, I would have never met Gurudev. And now he's the head of one of the centers. So the point is that we think that something maybe is not good, but only Bhagwan knows what is good for me and what is not good. So does that mean that we should not do anything? No, we have to do what is our best. With that effort that I am a servant of God, I am a humble agent, not with the attitude of I am the doer. Bhagwan alone kartasi, tvameva kevalam kartasi. You alone are the doer. You alone are the creator. Whatever. See, I made a beautiful dish and everybody praises. Again, it should go to, oh, Bhagwan, it is because of your blessings that I am able to do whatever I am able to do, whatever I am doing at all times. That alone is what is best for me at this moment. That's why there is this very famous bhajan, you know, Bhagwan meri naiya us paar laga dena, ab tak to nibhaya hai, aage bhi nibha dena. You must have heard. And it says, the devotee says, oh Lord, my boat is in your hands. You take me across this river, because this ocean of this world, I am drowning. And so far you have brought me here. Make sure you continue that. And then she says, you know, sambhava janjato mai main tujhko bhul jaun. He says, oh Lord, it may happen that I may forget you. I may not have time to remember you. I'm so busy with my family. But tum mujhe na bula. But you, please don't forget me. Keep me always with you at all times, even if I don't have time to remember you. And then he says, dal bal ke saath maya ghere mujhe aake. He says, sometimes Maya may come and overtake me. You know, what is Maya? Is my ignorance, my illusion, my delusion. Tum dekhte na rehna, jhat aake bacha lena. He says, Maya, even if it comes and overtakes me, God, it is your job to come and save me from this Maya. So it's a very beautiful bhajan, which suggests that ultimately everything is, Lord alone is the doer. I am his servant. That is the meaning of this. Tvameva kevalam kartasi. Then it says, tvameva kevalam dhartasi. You alone are the support of everything. So dharta comes from dhru. The root is dhru in Sanskrit. And that's why dharma also comes from that. Dharma means that which sustains, which holds together. So here it says, you are the sustainer of this universe also, as Vishnu Bhagwan. So why is sustenance important? Because to buy something is easy, but to maintain is hard. Like, you know, India had recently built 4 best airports, you know, which are the best in South Asia, Mumbai, Delhi, Hyderabad, and Bangalore. And the question is, you build the airports, but then how do you maintain them clean? How 5 years from now, are these airports still going to be that clean and that well maintained? So that is called dharta. So that is the ability to maintain. One is to create, and another one is to maintain. So in the Chinmaya mission, we always talk about how Pujya Gurudev, because of his inspiration, the Chinmaya mission was started. Gurudev started his teachings in 1950, and around 1960, they named the mission Chinmaya mission. And then for 43 years, Pujya Gurudev, from 1950 to 1993, created this mission where he traveled throughout the world, established centers, you know, books and videos and talks, and trained different acharyas in the Chinmaya mission, assigned them to different centers. So for 43 years, you can say he was the creator. And when he attained Mahasamadhi in 1993, the job fell to Guruji to now maintain. See, what the master has created, he has to maintain. And that is harder, to follow such a great teacher, such a great master. And Guruji was the complete opposite. Pujya Gurudev was a tall, very powerful personality. He spoke with a loud voice. Guruji is very soft spoken. Gurudev is Gyan Yogi. And Pujya Guruji is Gyan plus Bhakti. Gurudev gives talks. Guruji loves to sing along with his discourses. They always give him harmonium. So they thought that how will Guruji be able to maintain this center? To create is easy, but for the 25 years that Guruji maintained that center, he did it as he said, I am at Gurudev's feet. I have not taken his position. I am at his feet. And with that humility, he made the Chinmaya mission grow 3 times throughout the world. So many new centers and so much new growth. So to create something is easy, but to maintain it. And that's why he says you are the creator and you are the sustainer. And you alone are. But we think that I am the doer. You know, I am doing so much. I work so hard and I am. So there's another famous story. I'm sure some of you have heard, but there was this king who was driving his chariot. I mean, this charioteer was driving, and the king was sitting on his chariot, beautiful chariot. And that day there was this old man carrying a huge load of sticks on his head, and he was going. And the king felt sorry. It was a hot day and it was dusty. And so he said, stop the chariot. He tells that old man, you sit on my chariot. And he said, oh, I will sit. My clothes are dirty. No, sit. I'll take you to the, you are going to sell these sticks in the market. He said, yeah. He said, I'm also going there. I'll take you. So this man sits on the chariot and he's still holding the sticks on his head. And the king tells him, put the sticks down. You can. He says, no, Maharaj, you are doing me a favor by carrying me in the chariot. At least let me carry my own sticks. So that is how we are. You know, Bhagwan is doing everything, but we think that I am carrying, you know, I am doing this. So he says, Tvameva kevalam kartasi, Tvameva kevalam dhartasi. Then, Tvameva kevalam hartasi, you are the destroyer. So he said, why does God destroy? You know, why is there death? You know, that's our fear. You know, oh, I will not live, what will happen? But think about it. If our fathers, parents, great-grandparents, grandparents, great on and on and on. If nobody ever died, the earth would be not be able to be inhabited. Instead of 7 billion, we would have 70 billion, and there would be not even space to move. So destruction is required to create new. Otherwise, there will be no space. Also here, what it means is that creation, destruction is creative destruction. Like there is a seed, now seed is planted and it seed gets destroyed and a plant comes. And then plant becomes a tree. The planthood is gone and treehood comes. And then tree creates flowers. And then the flower is destroyed to create a fruit, mango fruit or a pear or whatever. And then when that mango fruit is eaten, is destroyed, another seed is created and another mango tree. So this cycle of creation and destruction is continuous. Childhood is lost to create youth. Youth is lost to create old age. You know, also this cycle of creation and sustenance goes on and on. And this is the cycle of everything. And without losing what I have, I cannot go. That's why they say, oh, Bhagwan, the main thing you should destroy is my ego, my ignorance, that I am separate from you. That's why, you know, this Mrityunjaya mantra, we say, Om Trayambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam Urvarukam Iva Bandhanan Mrityor Mokshiya Mamritat. He says, oh, Lord Shiva, you are the destroyer. Just as a cucumber, when it's fully ripened, easily can be separated from the vine. So may my ego, my ignorance, and my identification with this body, only you can separate me from this. So you can destroy this ego. You can destroy. So that is the idea of this destruction. And that's why Bhagwan in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita says, there is no one ever dies. Everybody, neither you nor me, na tvam, na aham, na eme janadi paha. Nobody ever. Yeah, it's because we are all eternal. But Arjun said, no. But I see people being born and I see people being dying all the time. And the soldiers will die. So he says, you know, nitya jatam, nitya va manyase mritam. Okay, even if you say people are born and people are being dying, then jatasya hi dhruvo mrityu, dhruvo janma mritasya cha. Tasmat pariharyate natvam shochitum arhasi. You say, okay, people are being born, people are dying, then that is whatever is born has to die, and whatever is done, die, will be born again. And don't worry, because wherever you have reached at the time of death, I'll make sure you continue your journey. So that's what we see, that is you. So you are the one that is responsible for sustenance, creation, and dissolution of this world. Mm-hmm. And tvam eva sarvam khalu idam brahmasi. Khalu means indeed, certainly this Brahma, this supreme creation, but the creator, the Brahman, the supreme consciousness, you alone are all that. And how we study that in this, I think all of you just chanted Guru Stotram, Akhanda Mandalakaram Vyaptam Yena Characharam Tat Padam Darshitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So he says, O Guru, I prostrate to you, I bow down to you. Why? Because Akhanda Mandala Akaram, this unbroken consciousness, which appears as this world, unbroken, one Brahman appears as all these different planets, different stars, different beings, humans, birds, plants, animals, all these divisions are actually manifestation of that one unbroken consciousness, Mandala Akaram, which has taken the form of all these worlds, these universes. Not only our universe, but they say crores of universes, cosmoses have been created, which we know is our world, which is trillions of miles long. So he says, Vyaptam yena characharam, moving and unmoving. That's how we see this world. Chara means moving, achara means unmoving. So, O Ganesh Bhagwan, you are the pervading consciousness that pervades this whole universe. So, pervader and pervading. That consciousness, which is all pervading, has appeared as this. That's why in Kaivalya Upanishad, the student, once he has understood this, he says, Anoraniyam ahameva tadvat mahanaham vishwamaham vichitram. He says, I as the consciousness is subtler than the subtlest. That means then even the atom, even the neutrons, protons, electrons, subtler than that is this Brahman, and bigger than the biggest. It's bigger than this whole universe, which is only a small part of this consciousness, this cosmos. So that bigger than the biggest you are, and you are smaller than the smallest, you are subtler than the subtlest. Now, that is what, so last week we had talked about, when everything is Brahman, then whom can I hate? Nobody, because everybody is me. But in the Western thinking, also in some, you know, aspects of Hinduism also, but is very strong in the Islamic and the Christian thinking, that there is God and there is Shaitan, you know, which they call Satan in Christianity or Shaitan in Islam. So that means whatever good is happening is God, because anything bad, how can that be God? You know, some dirt or some bad thing happening or some crime or some murder. You say, that is not God. You know, that is Shaitan. And so a person has a good excuse. He says, I was under the influence of Satan, and that's why I committed the murder, or that's why I did. So we give good and bad. So good is all God and bad is all Satan. But then who is this Satan? Is he somebody independent of God? They say, yeah, he's as powerful as God, and it is his influence because of which all the bad things are happening. So they say that good and bad is our relative interpretation of raga dvesha. What I like is good, what I don't like is bad. But something that is good for me may not be good for you. For example, if I'm diabetic, then I have to take medicine to lower the blood sugar. But somebody whose sugar is already normal, if he takes that medicine or she, the blood sugar will go down. Or like fluids, you know, somebody who is dehydrated, okay, he goes to the hospital, they give him IV fluids, give him Gatorade, you know, Pedialyte and all that, because he's dehydrated. But then there's another person who has congestive heart failure, fluid in the lungs, fluid in the legs. And what does the doctor say? No, no, restrict his fluid, give him water pills, diuretics to get rid of the fluid. So fluid may be good for one, may not be good for another. So to label things as good and bad is our fault. That's why Gurudev in the pledge, he says, service of our country is the service of the Lord of Lords, and devotion to the people is the devotion to the Supreme Self. So this country and this people are nothing but a manifestation of that Lord of Lords. And that's why Gurudev served the world, and he saw oneness. He saw the Lord everywhere. And that is the understanding of these great Mahatmas, that there is one consciousness who has manifested. And if we see differences, that is because of Maya. And Maya has Avarana Shakti and Vikshepa Shakti. Avarana means the power of veiling, and vikshep means the power of agitation. Mm-hmm. So not seeing the world as Brahman because of the veiling power of Maya, I see the differences, and then I like this person, I don't like this person. But a person who has gone beyond Maya, so he will talk later on about all the that you are beyond all this. We'll do that next week. So he says that consciousness, which is beyond Maya, which is my true nature, that I am, and that is Ganesh Bhagwan. He is that supreme. And everything I see is that one consciousness alone. And when he says, Svama Sakshat Atmasi Nityam, you are my true self. You are my true self. And you are me, and I am you. I am not separate from you. So there's another very beautiful story. where it is said that Namdev, you know, was a great saint in Maharashtra. And when he was a 4 or 5 year old boy, Vitthala used to appear to him and talk to him like a friend. And it is said that one time his father had to go somewhere. So he told Namdev, you know, you do the offer the prasad to God, do the bhog. So Namdev goes and God doesn't appear that day. So he said, I'm not leaving. You have to come and eat the food. And so it is said Bhagwan appeared and Namdev used to by his hand feed God every day. So that's how close he was. And so when he grew up, he still had that same relationship with Vitthala. He could see him whenever he wanted. And there was a gathering of all the great saints of Maharashtra at that time. There was Eknath Maharaj, there was Sant Gyaneshwar, Tukaram, Kumbha, and a lot of these great saints of that time. And Namdev was also there. Gyaneshwar was there. His brother Nivritti Nath, who was his guru, and his younger sister Muktabai, who was also a great saint. She was young, but very advanced. So all these saints were singing. Can you imagine, one place, all these great saints have gathered together, what that atmosphere must have been, all realized Mahatmas. And so Muktabai was a little mischievous. So she said, let me check out who is truly advanced or not. So she took a stick and she would hit on the head gently. And he said, ye pakka hai, ye kacha hai. You know, in the olden days when they made pots, they would hit with a stick. And from the sound, the potter could tell, this is pakka. This pot is ready to go to the market. Ye kacha hai, it's still not ready to go to the market. So she would hit on the saint's head and say, are ye saint pakka hai, ye kacha hai. You know, that this saint is realized, but this one is not. And so when she comes to Namdev, she hits on the head and she says, ye kacha hai. Again, she hits 3-4 times. He says, Namdev says, I see Bhagwan every time and you are still calling me kacha and all of these are pakka. For a moment, he was shaken. And then he was told that your understanding of Bhagwan is other than me. Vitthala, Bhagwan is other than me. And that was your understanding. That's why Vivekananda also asks Ramakrishna, have you seen God? And Ramakrishna says, I see God more clearly than I see you. But she is not only outside, but she is my true nature. So same way Namadev had that understanding that Vitthala is somebody separate from me. And to understand that the same that I am seeing outside is my true nature, that is called Tvam Sakshat Atmasi Nityam. So that is Advaita. Dvaita philosophy is that God is all powerful. He is the creator, sustainer, destroyer. I am humble. I am nobody. And that is good in a bhakti mark. But ultimately that bhakti has to go to jnana, where that one alone is appearing as all that. So that is one step beyond bhakti. And of course, with bhakti also, one can reach the highest. We're not saying that bhakti will not take us higher. Bhakti is very, very important. In fact, they say there are two wings, bhakti and jnanam, and both are required. Jnana alone, if you have and you don't have bhakti, you are a college professor. You know, you can teach Upanishads, but you have no love for God. And then one who only has bhakti and has no jnanam can sometimes become fanatic. You know, my God alone is better and I should kill anybody who is not. So that's why they say you are my atma. So you are not only my beloved Lord, but you are my atma and you are nityam. You are eternal. You are the one that is there in the past, present and future, that alone you are. Then we'll do this Ritam Vachmi and Satyam Vachmi. Ritam Vachmi, Satyam Vachmi. So I speak the truth and again I speak the truth. Why Rishi is saying twice? Because in the Upanishads, any repetition is not allowed. So Ritam means truth and Satyam also means truth. So why is he's saying it 2 times? Ritam means what is mentioned in the Shastras. Mm-hmm. What is mentioned in the Shastras, that is Ritam. And what is Satyam, when what is mentioned in the Atma, in the Shastras, becomes my own experience. So one is the Shastra Setri Kala Abhadit Vastu, that which is the same in past, present and future. You are that, Tattvamasi. But when I understand as my experience, that is called Satyam. And there's another very beautiful story, I'll tell that and end. So these brahmacharis, you know, who had graduated from Mumbai, from Sandipani, so 30 of them had gone on a pilgrimage, and they go to various places, and they go to this Swami Govindananda ji, who is the disciple of, what was his name? Akhandananda ji Maharaj. Akhandananda ji Maharaj, who was a great teacher, he was his disciple. And so there was his ashram. And so all these 30 of them were being taken on a pilgrimage. So they go to Govindananda ji's ashram. And there he welcomes them. You know, they had all gone from Bombay, and he welcomes them, feeds them. And then at night he says, you know, you are all graduates from this great institution. Tell me about sadhana. Can you tell me about sadhana? So there were 30 of them. So he picked one. And he says, tell me about sadhana. So this student had previously given a talk on sadhana at the Bombay mission. So he said, oh yeah, I can talk. So he prepares his thoughts, and then he talks about sadhana from Tattva Bodh, from Bhagavad Gita, Shankaracharya, Madhavacharya, and then, Brahma Sutras, Atha to Brahma Jignyasa, all that he talks. So Govindananda ji says, very good, very good. You have spoken well, but you have talked about what Tattva Bodh says, what Bhagavad Gita says, what Brahma Sutra say. What is your own experience? That is what I want you to talk about. And that is ultimately, speaker may talk, but until he or she has had the experience himself or herself, the teaching is incomplete. That's why they say he should not only be Shrotriyam, but Brahma Nishtha. Mm-hmm. So a true guru is one who has heard the scriptures, understood them, mm-hmm. and abides in that knowledge. So that is called a complete teacher, Shrotriyam Brahma Nishtha. So we'll end here. So here again it says, oh Brahma, oh Ganpati Bhagwan, you are that supreme Brahman, the creator, sustainer, and destroyer of this entire universe. You are the one in whom this universe resides, and you are my own Atma. And the Rishi here is saying, I am not just saying it because my guru told me, Ritam Vachmi, but Satyam Vachmi. I also experience you as my true self. So we'll end here with two shlokas. We have about 5 or 7 minutes. Anybody has any comments, questions, anything? There is a completely different thought.
Guruji also in his Ganpati Atharva Shesha Upanishad book, he says cause and effect. You know, he talks about cause and effect. That effect is nothing but cause appearing in a
different name and form. Yeah. Right. So Neeru said, like if you see a pot, then there has to be mud as the cause. Pot cannot appear without mud. Yeah. So same way.
Same way if you see the world, it has to be with Brahman.
Yeah. The cause and effect. So the world has to have a cause. So here Ganpati Bhagwan is the cause. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Actually, this book, Ganpati Atharva Shirsha book, is very nice. If you don't have it, you should get it. I am not able to show it. Yeah, there. Which actually Guruji has written very well, very nicely. Each commentary and word by word meaning of each shloka is there in that. So we may have in the office. If you need, Neeru can order it.
Harsha Ben
can check if we have it in the office. If not, we can order. If anybody would like that, it's worth reading because you can then remember things better. Any other comments, question? Anything else, Neeru, in this Guruji has written?
Swamiji covered this one.
Yeah, Swami Ishwaranandji covered this shloka when he gave the talk at the mission, 1 hour talk on Tuesday. So
I think in Ritam also Swamiji said you have to have the Shraddha.
Right.
So, because it's something you haven't seen. You have to have the Shraddha. He gave the example of hydrogen, you know, water, the elements, you know, even though it's made up of hydrogen and oxygen, we don't know it, but because somebody has said it, that right. We have Shraddha in. So that's why.
Right. Yeah. So here it means Ritam is that I have heard it in the scriptures. And I have faith in my guru and in the scriptures and Shraddha. And then culmination of Shraddha is my own self-knowledge. That's why he says that Atmasi Nityam. You are my self. And so that I have experienced, which you and I, we have still heard from the rishis. So we also have to experience God as my own self, my own nature. That's what you meditate on. Not that God is somewhere else. That's why they say, Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. I am that Shiva, that consciousness, bliss, Chidanand Rupa, that consciousness, bliss, and Sat, all three, I am. So that is why the meditation purposes. Not I as this being, but I as the essence. So you have to talk from the indicated meaning of I. One meaning of I is I as Anil, but another meaning is the I as the Atma, the consciousness. So that's the focus has to switch from I am this limited being to I am that infinite being appearing as this limited being. So that is the understanding of all Upanishad masters and teachers. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you. We'll end here. And next week, we'll continue the further mantras of this beautiful Upanishad. I think there are a total of 14. So we have covered 2 today. So hopefully some of them may go a little faster, but in the next few weeks, we'll this beautiful Upanishad, because it has everything. It has Vedanta and it has Bhakti also. So it's very, very nice. Very beautiful.
The next one is he's asking Ganpatiji for all protection.
Oh, protection. Avatu Mam. Avatu Vaktaram. Ava Vaktaram. Ava Shrotar. So protect me and protect everyone. Ava means to protect. So he's asking for Ganpati protection. Bhagwan for protection. Because you alone are the protector also. You are the creator, sustainer, destroyer. And you alone protect me from all sides. Paschatat, purastat, you know, everywhere you are that. So that is what we'll do next week. We can close here. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Thank you. Hari Om.